Psalm 27, this is the reading of God's Word. The Lord is my light and my salvation. Whom shall I fear? The Lord is the defense of my life. Whom shall I dread? When evildoers came upon me to devour my flesh, my adversaries, my enemies, they stumbled and fell. Though a host encamp against me, my heart will not fear. Though war arise against me, in spite of this, I shall be confident. One thing I have asked from the Lord, that I shall seek, that I may dwell in the house of the Lord all the days of my life, to behold the beauty of the Lord and to meditate in His temple. For in the day of trouble, He will conceal me in His tabernacle. In the secret place of His tent, He will hide me. He will lift me up on a rock. And now my head will be lifted up above all enemies around me. And I will offer in His tent sacrifices with shouts of joy. I will sing, yes, I will sing praises to the Lord. Hear, O Lord, when I cry with my voice, and be gracious to me and answer me. When you said, seek my face, my heart said to you, your face, O Lord, I shall seek. Do not hide your face from me. Do not turn your servant away in anger. You have been my help. Do not abandon me nor forsake me, O God of my salvation. For my father and my mother have forsaken me, but the Lord will take me up. Teach me your way, O Lord, and lead me in a level path because of my foes. Do not deliver me over the desires of my adversaries, for false witnesses have risen against me and such as breathe out violence. I would have despaired unless I had believed that I would see the goodness of the Lord in the land of the living. Wait for the Lord. Be strong and let your heart take courage. Yes, wait for the Lord. Amen. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you for this precious time of hearing your word. Grant us an ear to hear your word. O Father, as we hear your word, let our faith grow and we'll be more like your Son, Jesus Christ. O let us live that obedient life. Not only we understand and believe, but let us obey your word. O Father, bless us that your word will be preached correctly. And that Jesus Christ will be exalted and magnified and glorified. We thank you and we love you. Pray all this in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. Well, according to the title, again, this is Psalm of David. And I will start with a question. What is the earnest and urgent desire of a true Christian? Well, biblically speaking, that desire is to be with his or her God, to have the sweet fellowship of heaven with God. And our psalm sings about that desire. Again, here in this psalm, especially the verses 2 and 3, we are able to tell that David was going through serious sufferings. And you need to ask yourself, why does God, and not only in Psalms, but everywhere, when God portrays a life of Christian, there is always suffering in this world? Maybe because it is the truth? These verses tell us that David was going through serious sufferings. They tell us how the attacks of his enemies were so fierce and vicious. And King David, as we know, went through so many wars, as we could see in verse 3. But midst of all these sufferings, David completely trusted God. Verse 1, the Lord is my light and my salvation. Whom shall I fear? The Lord is the defense of my life. Whom shall I dread? See, God is my light and my salvation. He is the defense of my life. God is the light. God is the truth. God of light protects me. Exodus chapter 14, verse 19 and 20, the angel of God, who had been going before the camp of Israel, moved and went behind them. And the pillar of cloud moved from before them and stood behind them. So it came between the camp of Egypt and the camp of Israel. And there was the cloud along with the darkness, yet it gave light at night. Thus, one did not come near the other all night. God of light protecting his people. God is the foundation of my salvation. He gives me the eternal life. God is my light and my salvation. God is my God. I am in a covenantal relationship with my God, and in that relationship, I have eternal fellowship with him. God is my light, my salvation, and the defense of my life. Thus, whom shall I fear? Whom shall I dread? No matter what other people might want to do to me, no matter what happens to me in my life, it is not something that I should fear or dread. Evildoers, adversaries, enemies, and the hostile armies. My heart will not fear them. In spite of all of them, I shall be confident. Even when the things that verses 2 and 3 show happen all around me, I will not fear. When evil duels came upon me to devour my flesh, my adversaries and my enemies, they stumbled and fell. Though a host encamp against me, my heart would not fear. The war arise against me, in spite of this, I shall be confident. Even when all these things happen all around me, there is one thing that I have asked from the Lord. Just one thing. Verse 4. One thing I have asked from the Lord that I shall seek, that I may dwell in the house of the Lord all the days of my life, to behold the beauty of the Lord and to meditate in his temple. The one thing I have asked from the Lord, the one thing that I shall seek, the one thing that I truly hope and desire, that I may dwell in the house of the Lord, that I may dwell with my God. Do you understand, brothers and sisters? This is the burning desire of Christians. How many times in a day do you desire to be with God? Is there any wonder why your Christian life is so dry as you would describe it? When you don't seek to be with God. First thing, we get up. And do whatever activity you might do that would help you to do this. Remind yourself, I need to seek my God. I need to seek his face. Brothers and sisters, that I may dwell with my God. This is the burning desire of Christians. This is the purpose of all Christians. to dwell with my God forever. This is the reality of heaven. That's what heaven is all about. God is with His people. This is the reality of the new heavens and the new earth. Revelation 21 verse 3. And I heard a loud voice from the throne saying, Behold, the tabernacle of God is among men, and He will dwell among them, and they shall be His people, and God Himself will be among them. And as I dwell with God, He says two things. One thing that I desire, I want to dwell with God, be with God, to do two things. First, to behold the beauty of the Lord. Behold the glory of the Lord. And second, to meditate in His temple, to seek His will in His temple, to seek Him in His temple, to adore Him in His temple, or to inquire His will in His temple. Depends on which translation you have. That's all the possibility. Our desire is to be with God so that we may behold, to see the beauty of the Lord, and to inquire of His will for us. So two things, to see God and to know His will for me. This is the desire of Christians. So oftentimes we go to God and tell Him about what I want. But David says, no, I want to be with you and inquire of your will for me. I want to know your will for me. 1 Kings chapter 22 verse 7, the Jehoshaphat said, Is there not a prophet of the Lord here that we may inquire of Him? To find out God's will, to seek God's will. This is the desire of Christians. Psalm 23 verse 4 and 6, Even though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I fear no evil, for You are with me. Your rod, Your staff, they comfort me. Surely goodness and loving kindness will follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. Brothers and sisters, even in the midst of all the sufferings, my heart will not fear. Why? Because God is with me. I am with God. And in that situation, we want to see His glory, see His beauty, and to know His will for me. Beautiful psalm. How can we not move? Not be moved when you read this kind of psalm? Because it poetically, by the power of our, you know, God's Spirit, Holy Spirit, it describes my desire much better than I could say. But that is my desire. I just could not express it, but God does it for me. And this is what living is all about. You get up and you ask, what is your will for me today? What do you want me to do today? How can I bring pleasure to you? And see all the glory through His Word. See, not when we come to God, not only, you know, we praise, but we read His Word. So through His Word, see His beauty, His holiness, His righteousness, His loving kindness. Yes, in heaven we will even see his beauty in visible form. But these days, until we go to heaven, we have to see his beauty in his word. Truly, our Lord Jesus Christ is beautiful. Verse 5, for in the day of trouble, he will conceal me in his tabernacle. In the secret place of his tent, he will hide me. He will lift me up on a rock. God keeps us and protects us even in the judgment. God safely hides us in him. Verse 6, and now my head will be lifted up above my enemies around me, and I will offer in his tent sacrifices with shouts of joy. I will sing, yes, I will sing praises to the Lord. I will sing praise to the Lord. We will praise him. See, we saw up to verse 6. Look, in the world, verse 2 and 3, we suffer. But we come to God, verse 4, and we see him, and we seek his will, and God protects me, verse 5, and we praise him, we worship him, verse 6. This is what our life is all about. God promising us there will be suffering. But in the midst of suffering, we are able to come to God every single moment. We are able to come to God and we will see his beauty and we will seek his will. And God protects us. God will give us peace. And what do? We end up, see, we're concerned about the sufferings that we're going through. We might be concerned about all these things that is happening in your life. But as we come to God, seek his beauty, seek his will, and you know he's there for you, he protects you, then you end up praising. You even forget why you came to God in the first place. All those concerns that you have, you might even forget all that. You end up praising. This is what happens. Man, you have to desire this fellowship. Brothers and sisters, I want you to experience this sweet fellowship with God. And you will never say, my life as a Christian is dry. Never again. So much confidence and so much security, so much love and peace he gives you. And you know there's nothing in this world that could harm me. Oh, that could kill me. But I will go to heaven and forever and ever. Nothing will harm me anymore. Now, verse 7 through 12, David offers up prayers to God. Verses 9, 7 through 9, hear, O Lord, when I cry with my voice, and be gracious to me and answer me. When you said, seek my face, my heart said to you, your face, Lord, I will seek. I shall seek. Do not hide your face from me. Do not turn your servant away in anger. You have been my help. Do not abandon me nor forsake me, O God of my salvation. David learns to trust God and entrust everything, all things to God. In verse 8, David seeks God. Psalm 42 verse 1 and 2, as the deer pants for the water brooks, so my soul pants for you, O God. I can hardly wait up when we get to Psalm 42. My soul thirsts for you, God, for the living God. When shall I come and appear before God? God is my help and my salvation, verse 9. And verse 10, for my father and my mother have forsaken me, but the Lord will take me up. God loves me more than my own father and mother. I seek God who will always take me up. I cry out to God who loves me. You know, God is better father than any earthly father can be to you. God is the best husband that you could have. God is best friend. You know, all of you might say, I don't have a good friend. Oh, I don't even have a good husband or a good wife. Oh, I don't even have a good father or good mother. You have God. I don't feel sorry for you. How can I feel sorry for you when you have God as your husband, as your father? How? You let me know how I could pity on you. Impossible for me. When you have God, you have everything. I seek God who will always take me up. I cry out to God who loves me. Isaiah 49 verse 15, can a woman forget her nursing child and have no compassion on the son of her womb? Even these may forget, but I, God, will not forget you. Verse 11, teach me your way, O Lord, and lead me in a level path because of my foes. God leads me and teaches me. Verse 12, do not deliver me over to the desire of my adversaries. For false witnesses have risen against me, and such as breathe out violence. God gives me the victory over my adversaries. Many false witnesses have risen against me. They breathe out violence. They come after me to destroy me, but God causes me to triumph over my enemies. Of course, this reality might not be seen in this world, might not be visible in this world, but it is our present spiritual heavenly reality. I cry out to God. I seek Him. Verses 13 and 14, I would have despaired unless I had believed that I would see the goodness of the Lord in the land of living. Wait for the Lord. Be strong and let your heart take courage. Yes, wait for the Lord. Wait on Him. See, God has His own time. And God doesn't move according to, you know, what time we think that God should do this or that. But He loves you. Why would He not do good for you? You have to wait on the Lord. Wait for the Lord. Be strong and let your heart take courage. There are so many passages in the Bible after the command to be strong and take courage that tells us that God is with us. Deuteronomy 31 verse 7 and 8, when Moses called to Joshua and said to him in the sight of all Israel, be strong and courageous, for you shall go with this people into the land which the Lord has sworn to their fathers to give them. You shall give it to them as an inheritance. The Lord is the one who goes ahead of you. He will be with you. He will not fail you or forsake you. Do not fear or be dismayed. Joshua chapter 1 verse 9, have I not commanded you? Be strong and courageous. Do not tremble or be dismayed, for the Lord your God is with you wherever you go. 1 Chronicles chapter 28 verse 20, then David said to his son Solomon, be strong and courageous and act. Do not fear nor be dismayed, for the Lord God, my God, is with you. He will not fail you nor forsake you until all the work for the service of the house of the Lord is finished. One more place, 2 Chronicles chapter 32, verse 6 through 8. He appointed military officers over the people and gathered them to him in the square at the city gate and spoke encouragingly to them, saying, be strong and courageous. Do not fear or be dismayed because the king of Assyria, nor because of all the horse that is with him. For the one with us is greater than the one with him. With him is only an arm of flesh, but with us is the Lord, our God, to help us to fight our battles. Whatever problems, adversaries, or enemies you might have in this world, be strong and courageous, for God is with you. You know, this doesn't mean that your victory will be visible in this world. Yeah, to the world, they might even say, oh, he's praying to his God and God is not doing anything. Those kind of things comes from ignorance. We have to wait on the Lord. Wait for the Lord. He always answers. Oh, sometimes the answer is no, but he answers. And the only reason why he will say no to you is because that is not good for you. That is not good for his purpose for you. And his purpose is to make you like Christ. That's his purpose. This psalm is our psalm in Jesus Christ. Our life is a life of suffering. This is what the Bible tells us. And in the midst of sufferings, we wholeheartedly trust our God. Jesus Christ is our light and our salvation. He is the defense of our lives. Our hearts have yearning desire for our Lord Jesus Christ. We long for our eternal home. And we have one thing we ask from the Lord, that we may dwell in the house of the Lord forever, to behold the beauty of the Lord and to seek His will. When we live like this, the world will mock us, telling us that we foolishly avoiding the reality. But we truly have one thing that we desire. Everything else is just, it's not even secondary. It's just way out there. One thing, to seek Jesus Christ, to behold the beauty of our Lord Jesus Christ, and to be just like Him. You know, to behold Jesus is to be like God, be like Jesus. 1 John chapter 3, verse 2b, we know that when He appears, we will be like Him because we shall see Him just as He is. To see Him is to be like Him. So every time you come to God and seek His face and behold His beauty through His word, you will be like Him. Oh yes, process might be very slow to you, but it's exactly according to God's time. But the problem or the question that I must ask is, do you have this desire? Oh, I pray God will pour out His grace upon us that we have this desire. Because it is all about love. When you love somebody, to desire to see the beauty of that person, it's not something we need to force on someone. They have it. Second Corinthians 3 verse 18, but we all with unveiled face, beholding as in a mirror, the glory of the Lord, are being transformed into the same image of our Lord, from glory to glory, just as from the Lord the Spirit. This is what my life is all about, brothers and sisters. Your life too. From the day we're born, the purpose is to be like Christ.
So that everything that we do, say, and think, it should be in terms of that purpose, to be like Christ. Why were you born? What was God's purpose for you? You ask, why did I come into this world? To do what? What is my purpose? Bible tells you that it is to be like Jesus Christ. Oh, I mean, you think about this. You know, this is so awesome purpose. You know, you might hear from these worldly people the purpose they might have. You know, they're going to be great this, great that. You bring all of them to me. I show them how greater is my purpose. It's to be like God. Oh, when I think about all those purposes that people are just, oh, you know, they're so envious of. Oh, give me a break. My purpose is greater. And if you don't see that truth, then what can I say? But when you see that truth about yourself, everything changes. Nothing really matters. What kind of house I have, what kind of job I might have, how much money I make, or anything like that. My purpose is to be like Christ. It's to dwell with God and to see the beauty of God and to inquire of His will. You remind yourself as soon as you get up and you're alone and you might be doing something, but you remind yourself, even today, I want to be with God and behold His beauty and inquire of His will. This is how we live. It's fun. It brings so much joy. You know, I'm the kind of guy that if I don't have this joy that comes from God, man, I will be the most depressed. Oh, man, you think depression? And yet I don't get depressed. Because I know what is true of me. And it's not my imagination. It's not something that I imagine. But it's the truth. If I'm depressed, thinking that I'm depressed, that's my imagination. But God being with me, I with Him, and I behold His beauty. And what is so amazing is that in Jesus Christ, I have become holy and blameless. So Jesus, God, beholds my beauty every single day. It's like two lovers looking at one another and they're just so happy. You multiply that by infinity. This is my reality. I behold His beauty, He beholds my beauty. Oh boy, brothers and sisters, Jesus and I, we are in love. I don't need anything else. Sorry, my son and my daughter for hearing. Yes, we praise Him and worship Him now and forever. 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 5 to 6, who, Christians, are protected by the power of God through faith for a salvation ready to be revealed in the last time. In this you greatly rejoice, even though now for a little while, if necessary, you have been distressed by various trials.
Brothers and sisters, God promises you. You will suffer if you want to live as a Christian. Oh, but God wants to meet you. In the midst of that desert life, the wilderness life, God prepares a table before my enemies. And He and I will sit down on that table. With fellowship. In the sight of my enemies, God and I, we fellowship. I behold His beauty and He beholds my beauty. Brothers and sisters, we got to understand how blessed we are. Yes, I feel for you. I know there are some of you who are suffering and who have a lot of concerns. But I want you to see your heavenly reality. I want you to see your spiritual reality. This is why I cannot pity you. I cannot feel sorry for you. Because I know you're going to be okay. As long as you confess Jesus as your Lord and Savior to me, I know you're going to be okay. No matter what happens to us, our hearts will not fear. Though we may go through so much hardships, in spite of this, we shall be confident. We seek God's face. We will be strong in our hearts and will take courage. And we wait on the Lord. We patiently pray to our Lord and wait on Him. We believe Him and we trust Him. This is what our Lord Jesus Christ desired. The one only thing, sweet fellowship with God the Father. As He bore our sins and died on the cross, He sought after the Father's face. He cried out to the Father, verse 7 through 9, "Hear, O Lord, when I cry with my voice, and be gracious to me and answer me. Do not hide your face from me. Do not turn your servant away in anger. You have been my help. Do not abandon me, nor forsake me. O God of my salvation," this is what Jesus was crying out to God the Father. But the Father abandoned him. The Father did not grant his prayers, request. Why? Because He was bearing our sins. Bearing your sins and my sins. Brothers and sisters, I want you to remember this is how our salvation has been accomplished. Thus, we must diligently seek God's face. You have to think about that moment when Jesus was seeking the face of the Father. He could not find it. This is why we must diligently seek God's face. You need to understand how precious that is, that when you seek His face, that He will show His face to you. That He will not abandon you. He will not forsake you. Don't fear. And be very happy. To have the sweet fellowship of heaven, and through His word, behold His beauty and seek His will. You know, Generally speaking, we die when we are old. This world thinks that getting old is so bad. Oh, they will even feel sorry for you that you're old. Brothers and sisters, getting old is not that bad. Actually, I'm filled with hope and certainty. The day to behold His face visibly is coming very, very soon. Because that was my purpose all these days. All these years that I lived, that was my purpose, to see, to behold His face, behold the beauty of His face. And that day is coming very soon. No, I'm not going to kill myself. No, that's sin. I don't want to sin. But that day is nearer today than yesterday. And tomorrow it will be much more near. And you might think, oh man, Pastor Kim, that's not good purpose to have in this world. You know, you must be ambitious. You got to be thinking about success in this world. And here you are thinking about seeing your God's face. Exactly. I don't care what they think about me. Yeah, I'm a loser. It's okay. Because I'm going to see my God. And I'm going to behold His beauty forever and ever. And believe me, brothers and sisters, that is good enough for me. Actually, way, way more than good enough for me. And I don't live to please the world or worldly people. Even people who come to church, their focus is worldly. Brothers and sisters, go home and say to your God, my God, our God, there's one thing that I desire, I seek, is to be with you. Let's pray together. Heavenly Father, we thank you. Oh, how we thank you, Father. You have given us wonderful life, eternal life, life of being with you, in which we'll behold your beauty. Oh, Father, we love you. And it just moves us so much to know that you behold our beauty in Jesus Christ. Truly amazing grace. We thank you and we pray all this in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. Amen.